All right, welcome to a special edition of the Geekly Debate. This is the 30-minute Quora cast, and I am David, and joining me is...
Taylor.
And...
Joshua.
New to the podcast. So, season 4, book 4...
Yeah, the series as a whole has concluded.
Yes.
Had its big final episode.
The Last Stand.
Some shocking moments. Mm-hmm. Some moments that have been building up to for a while.
Yeah, a lot of little breadcrumbs leading up to the final scene.
But even beyond that, so let's just start from the beginning. Everyone comes back together in Republic City. Lin, Suyin.
Yeah, the whole gang. Basically,
only to find out that Kuvira has shown up with a Gundam with a giant fucking cannon
with a mech that's basically Megatron.
Yeah.
But it,
man, it seems like Unicron size more so than Megatron.
Yeah, but
size.
It kind of echoes back to what Toph said in Operation Bayfront, which was basically, you gotta let the kids handle it.
Yeah.
You gotta pass it to the kids. And that's what happens. And she's got, like, Kuvira shows up, and she's like, Republic City was once part of the Earth Kingdom, and now it's going to be part of the Earth Empire. I'm rebuilding the Earth Nation as the Earth Empire. And it's pretty much the Republic forces. You got General Iroh, you got all of them, basically, like, surrenders after,
well,
like,
they're completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
I mean, this is a military force that they could not have been prepared for.
Yeah, because they were expecting the cannon
to be on, like, a rail.
Yeah,
and they were going to destroy the rail line so it couldn't reach them, but, that did not work.
No, it was like, Kuvira's going to attack in 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, she's a week early!
Yep.
Oh, man.
Shows up with her... Not even beyond the giant mech, she has like an army with her, regardless. Really cool climactic scene. You have all of our heroes are gathered around the city. They're like trying to topple buildings.
We're like
lava bending, metal bending, air bending, fire bending.
Bolin like rips a building in half, and
Su
and Yin, Lin push it over.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's just, there was just a lot of closure. It's family. There were like themes of family. You had like the whole Airbender family. You had the Beifong family.
Yeah.
You had
Mako and Bolin.
You had Asami and her father.
Yeah.
It was basically the kids, all the kids, from Toph to the grandkids. Fighting it out.
Yeah. They eventually come up with the plan where they are going to cut their way. And outside, they did a good job demonstrating to us that there's really nothing they can do. This thing's just
too much.
Too overwhelming.
Too much for them to handle.
So they're going to try and cut their way inside. Mm-hmm. And this builds up to kind of this closure between Asami and her father. She finally, like, forgives him for all the stuff he did in season one. Mm-hmm. They have this loving moment where they're working on the mech together.
And he's like, her father's like, it's good to be working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all
we didn't even mention Varric and Julie.
Julie getting engaged.
Yeah. They had a sweet moment.
Yes, they did.
Several, actually.
Yeah.
But back to Asami and her father, though.
But the thing is, me as a mechanic, I mean, I've always told people there's no better way for a father and daughter or father and son to bond than over a motorcycle or a car just... wrenching on it.
Well, you should try flying mech suits, because apparently that works too.
Yeah, that works too, apparently.
Yeah. You're going to put a plasma cutter on a mech suit.
Yep.
Yeah. And the flexibility of that Kuvira mech.
Yeah,
gosh.
They try to like land, like, oh, well, surely it can't reach this bottom of its back. Oh, yes, it can! Whoa.
Wow, it's got more flexibility than I do.
So, like, they realize there's no safe place to land, so the other Korra and her crew are in charge of, like, keeping that thing from killing the next two as they land. They mostly succeed, but Asami's father realizes that there's not going to be enough time
to cut through.
So he ejects her pod. It's a two-man suit. He ejects her pod so that he can finish the job. Does his heroic sacrifice, his moment of redemption.
And he's not going back to prison.
I think it was more to save his daughter. Don't be cynical, you bastard. But anyway.
But it was like so mean of like Lin to say, well, we got him out of prison, but when we're done, we're going to put him back in his cell. I thought that was mean of Lin. And Lin's like one
Lin's
of my
mean. What are you talking
Lin's
about?
Lin's like one of my favorite characters.
I like her quite a bit, but she is a hard ass.
Yes, she is. which she seemed to have a softening in late season three and in season four. She did.
Well, earlier in season four, she got to have her sort of cathartic moment with Toph.
Yeah. Hey, Chief.
Chief.
So do we want to talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
We'll build up to that, because once they get inside the mech, we have this really awesome fight scene. A more classical fight scene. The scene where they're trying to fight the mech from the outside was really awesome.
Yeah.
But we get sort of this classic Avatar one-on-one duel once Korra makes her way to the cockpit. Yeah. She fights Kuvira.
Awesome
metal bending. Like, there's like this fluid nature. Like, she's...
Well, the...
Korra's weapon is... Kuvira's weapon is liquid metal that she's flinging around.
But you know what metal that is, though? That's the meteorite metal.
Yeah, it's similar to the meteorite metal that Sokka had.
Yeah. But, because, you know, Sue had all that collection of meteorites, and those meteorites were what was used to control the mech. Mm. That's what those were.
Yep.
But, yeah, when Korra makes her way to the cockpit, and she, like, knock, knock, you see that hatch, like, and then she comes in.
Mr. Miracle.
It's just white. Oh, gosh. And it's a great fight scene. It's an intense fight scene in a very small area, because we're used to seeing Korra fight in a big, wide open space.
Yeah.
And this is like a cockpit.
And like the whole cockpit is a weapon to them, because they're both metal benders, so they're like bending stuff around, trying to like encase people against the walls, but they break
through. Dragging them across the ceiling.
The best scene was when Kuvira is like shooting this stream of metal, but Korra like... splits it around her and like gathers it behind her and throws it back.
Yeah. But, what number are you? Just how Korra defeated Kuvira is pretty spectacular. I think. You don't see that often happening in a show.
At least not where it's believable.
Eventually
she does beat her in the fight and they're outside the cockpit, but Kuvira's still not giving up. She runs into the forest. She tries one last time to attack Korra with the dislodged spirit weapon.
Yeah.
And
it backfires on her. She can't control it.
Yeah.
And we do see that in the end, Korra... Well, Kuvira will never achieve the same power that Korra has.
Because she called upon all of her strength and blocked the attack.
Yeah. But it wasn't the thing that I was hoping to see where she bent the actual energy beam. But it was still great.
Yeah.
But it was that face that Kuvira had. It's like a mortal fighting against a god.
Yeah.
And it was when they're in the spirit world.
And that's a big deal because Kuvira has been so in control, stoic throughout the whole season. Like, she was a little emotional when she attacked her fiancé to get to Korra.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, she's been like the stone face, absolute killer of a person.
When she did attack, she, that scene after the attack on Batar when she tried to get everybody. She genuinely regretted doing that.
She did.
I believe she genuinely regretted
doing that. I believe that she genuinely did love Batar Jane.
But
that just sort of shows what kind of person she is, that she puts her beliefs, she puts her goals above everything, including her own happiness.
She's willing to reunite the Earth Kingdom at any cost.
One thing Korra has had going for it really well, probably even better than The Last Airbender, is especially in the last two seasons, sympathetic villains.
Oh, yeah.
They have depth to them. You can understand why they do the things that they do. Maybe not condone, but understand.
Yeah, given season the book three villains, I did like them.
They were great.
They were some of the best villains in a long time in a lot of places. Is that
Aquaman 35? She does withstand the attack, and that. The discharge of all that spirit energy creates another portal in the middle of the public city, and that's where Kuvira and Korra, in the spirit world where they can't use their bending, have this sort of heart-to-heart, and that's where the issue does get resolved.
Yes. Because Korra was saying, I see a lot of you in me, or a lot of me in you.
And then Kuvira is like, well, that's ridiculous, you have everything.
You're the Avatar, it's beloved by millions of people. Me, I was thrown away by my parents.
Yeah.
But they were both strong and determined characters, women. And that's one thing about book four was it was the women taking the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, you know.
We are building so much in, up to that last
season. We're building up, yes. But, yeah, seriously, I mean, can you think of an episode this season other than maybe the Varric Boleyn road trip where there wasn't a major female lead?
Not really, no. I mean, Toph coming back and her being a big deal. Katara at the very beginning of the season was she finally kind of came back in the show and had an important role.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Korra herself. And Kuvira was a very strong, powerful.
Well, and that's the way a lot of TV shows are going, is having a strong female.
Yeah, and it's a great trend.
But with it's the, a good switch and change of pace.
The biggest difference between this season or this book and the previous book is it was a female protagonist and a female antagonist.
Yeah.
And that's something that.
Amon, and then
Unalaq,
and then Zaheer.
Zaheer and his crew, which you had Hylee and Maylin. Minglin. I can't. Is it Minglin?
The waterbender. Ming, I think.
But you had basically the women taking the lead. You had pretty much, you know, Korra, Kuvira, Lin, Sue, Toph, Opal. I can't think of like an episode where it was a primarily guy episode, except for the Boleyn Varric road trip. And that was just part of an episode.
Yeah. But okay, so the issue does get resolved because Kuvira finally sees that she has gone too far. And one of the reasons she was able to do that is because she did have this sort of bonding moment with Korra at the end of all things. In a lesser show, when they try to do stuff like that, it might come off as hokey, as kind of like, oh, well, that's a silly way to end it. That's the strength of Avatar, though. It's so well done. It's built up so well. It's... I believe it when they rely on these tropes.
The way Kuvira explained it, she's like, nobody, you weren't there, Sue wasn't helping, somebody had to do something because my people were tearing themselves apart.
You get the sense that she didn't ask for this, but she is doing what she thinks has to be done.
She was doing what was necessary to save her people.
At some point, she was too far, she lost her way, but it's so hard to see where they're
doing dirty sand. Yeah.
Like, behold,
where did you step on
the
rock? I see that I did.
Like, when did she decide to do concentration? When did she decide to do the re-education thing? Forcing non-Earth Nation people into camp.
When did she get to the point where she was willing to kill someone she loved to maintain what she believed in?
Which, on a level, she's like Zaheer.
Yeah.
On Zaheer level.
Even Zaheer wasn't willing to kill his
group.
No, but she believed enough in her cause that she was willing to sacrifice.
I want
to
get back to Zaheer in a minute, just because that's another important arc we had for season four. But real quick, though, let's finally get to the very ending here. It ends with
Asami and Korra.
It does end with Asami and Korra, with the backdrop of Varric and Julie's wedding. Everyone's kind of gathered together. We're having our denouement. They all have like their moments. Korra has a heart-to-heart with Mako about how like we're never going to get back together, but we'll always be friends.
I'll follow you into battle and I'll always have your back.
Yeah. And then finally,
the very touching moment between her and Tenzin.
Yes.
Because it's that point when Tenzin realizes that Korra no longer needs a mentor.
Yeah.
Which is one of the really interesting things about the mentors. Usually they die. And Tenzin didn't.
No.
And that was a good thing, I felt.
Well,
but
he certainly went through
some changes.
Dark moments, yes.
And some changes because,
we got to see Tenzin. We got to see the mentor grow up, especially in season two there. I'm talking about season two when he was in the spirit world.
When he realized that there was something
he
had limitations.
Yeah, he meets the sort of embodiment of his father in the spirit world.
Oh, yeah. But we also see Tenzin accept the new reality. The newer airbenders wearing the air suits. Up until the final episode, Tenzin wasn't wearing an air suit.
No.
One of the flight suits. And he did look like Superman when he was flying alongside all the other airbenders.
Well, he's still the best airbender on Earth. Maybe Zaheer, but no.
Zaire has a better grasp of the spiritual matters than probably Kenshin does.
But back, okay, we're getting away from it again.
Good, man.
Okay, so they have this moment with Mako, we have this moment with Tenzin, and then finally, when everyone else has said their goodbyes, it's Korra and Asami. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is he coming here today?
They talk about, Korra apologizes for being distant for so long. Asami kind of talks about how, like, thank goodness I didn't lose you as well as my father. I don't know what happened if I lost you. And they decide, hey, you know what? Let's just go on a vacation together.
To the spirit world.
To the spirit world. And the final shot of the season, of the series, is them holding hands and looking at each other with more than friendship as they go into the spirit world. I was very surprised when I saw it happen. I messaged him after I saw it, and I'm like, did that imply what I think it was implying? And it was.
It was.
The show creators have confirmed.
Yeah, pretty much Korrasami is canon now.
Yes.
But it was basically, if you think they're just going off to the spirit world to be friends, then you're thinking of it in the wrong way.
Yeah. They don't... Well, the way TV works as a visual medium, they don't linger a shot on something unless they're doing it for a very specific reason. They lingered on them holding hands. They lingered on them staring into each other's eyes.
But it's pretty much been throughout... I'm going to say...
It's obviously implied.
Yes.
Yeah, it's heavily implied.
They couldn't go as far as to actually have them kiss or anything, I think, because they were afraid of backlash.
Is that your triumph out there?
That might actually have been... That might actually have been the reason why that they instead waited, or Nickelodeon pushed it up 12 hours for the release. It was supposed to have been released at noon on Friday, and it got released at midnight on Friday.
I appreciate it.
As far as I can tell, the people are very much behind it, and I'm very proud of the Avatar fan base for accepting it.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that they've been leading up to that.
It wasn't just shoehorned in at the last minute. Well, there's so many things from season 1 through 3 and 4 that you can appreciate a lot more in retrospect.
Because you can really see it starting to build in season 3. Because
Even in season 2, they had their bonding moment where they're driving together, and they're kind of like, you kiss Mako, but they're like, but we're still friends. Was that season 3? Whenever that happened, they had this moment where they're like, I'm glad that we're able to be friends even in spite of...
It was their relationship with Mako that brought them closer together.
Yeah.
They had a mutual relationship with Mako. Yeah.
But then in this season, Asami was the only one that Korra wrote to
when
she was on her journey finding herself.
She felt like she could only... Asami was the only one she could talk to about these things.
Yeah.
And Mako was upset about that.
Yeah.
He was very upset about that. And then you had the moment, I think, during the clip episode, where it was Korra and Asami at the podium at the
White House.
The gazebo.
Yeah.
And sharing a cup of tea.
They were the ones sharing the moment together in sort of the intermission phase of this ongoing battle they had. And Mako even talked, I think, during his segment where he was talking about having had dated both Korra and Asami. Didn't he conclude that by talking about how it was good that all three of them could still
be friends,
be around each other? So they've been... It didn't just come out of fucking nowhere.
No, it was something that they've been having, dropping breadcrumbs and, and building up to. And it wasn't just season, or the fourth season, it was the third season, part of the first season. Because you could tell there was a friendship there.
Well, backing away from the in-universe discussion of what happened, I am extremely impressed by the show creators that they would conclude a mainstream show like this. And they wouldn't treat it as though it was this, like, freaky aberration thing. They treat it like this was a healthy, normal relationship, and the way it really should be in this day and age.
But thinking about it, one of the overarching themes of season 4 is acceptance.
Yeah. Well, the show in general, Airbender and Korra, they've always been inclusive. They've always provided a voice for these sort of cultures that we don't see a lot in mainstream TV. It's one of the best examples of a show I can think of that has a non-Caucasian cast. A non-white cast.
Yeah.
And besides, most kids that watch this show, or, you know, or even the original Airbender, they... realize that these certain aspects are in it, but they're not judgmental about it. Like any like, you know, old school quote unquote adult would be and go, oh no, you can't have that in this
show.
These
kids are growing up in an atmosphere where we haven't poisoned the well.
Exactly.
So they have not been raised to believe that there's anything wrong or abnormal about this.
Yeah, exactly. Because the
and I think it's a wonderful sign.
Yeah, it remember the it was a McDonald's commercial, I think it was, about, I think it was a McDonald's commercial, or it was some commercial, and they did a study on it where it was a white woman, a black father, and a black child, and the kids were watching it, and they thought it was an awesome commercial. And then when the people who were running the test told them why adults were getting up in arms, the kids just looked at him and go, what?
Yeah,
and they had no idea. They did not understand it at all.
The half white, half black little girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I know which one you're talking about. It's something that they kids didn't recognize as normal.
Yeah.
And the adults are like, no.
Yeah, the people who were administering the test, when they told them, they just had this look of profound, just, you know, being gobsmacked, like someone smacked them in the face with a tuna. You know, they didn't get it. So,
but let's get back on Korra real quick.
Well, no, these are important things to talk about, and it's something that I think this show has provided us an opportunity to talk about.
Yeah.
Is progress.
Yeah. It's been slow going, but it's finally happening little by little.
Well, jumping back onto Korra now, there are other things we can talk about. The season as a whole, we've been talking mostly about the final episode, but it was a great season. Season 3, I'm still going to say, was my favorite overall, just because the quality of the villains, the Zaheer and his, like, the menace that these four brought were
great. And that they are so committed to their cause.
Yeah.
They are.
But Season 4 had some great character growth for Korra. I like how her getting over her confrontation with Zaheer was not a one-episode thing. It's something that took a long time for her to kind of build up to.
Oh, yeah.
We had, at the beginning, like, Katara got it where she could walk again, where she was no longer bound to a wheelchair, and that was a step in the process. She went off on her own for a while, which I think is another step in the process.
To try to reconnect with Rava.
And then she found Toph. And
Toph was probably the best help that she
Toph
got.
Toph was a... I'm going to argue that in a minute, but we're building up to it. Toph was able to sort of not only remove the lingering poison in her veins.
She didn't really remove it. Toph didn't remove the lingering poison.
Well, no, but like let her know about it. Well, like she got her in a state of mind where she could do it herself. And I think that's important because like Toph kind of gave her like this mental
Toph
helped to heal her mentally.
It's like what she said in Beifong again. You gotta let the kids do it.
Yeah.
You gotta let the kids. Because a lot of people were expecting, Katara and Zuko and Toph to come back and save the city. Like they did.
That
would have
been a great fan service moment, and I would have loved to see it. But, I can understand why.
Yeah.
But,
It was also a departure from saying, hey, this is not Airbender. This is Korra.
It is.
So don't expect Airbenders.
As much as I love Airbender, you're right, Korra has to stand on her own legs.
Yeah.
But okay, so Katara kind of helped to feel her physically, where she could move around again. Toph, I feel like, helped her emotionally and mentally. And then Zaheer, the final step of the process, confronting her old enemy, the one who did this to her in the first place, that was her healing herself spiritually.
Yes.
He was able to help her break through her final barriers, travel into the spirit world, and finally accept what had happened. Well, those are the words he used. Let it stay in the past.
Yeah, accept what happened to you and move on.
Yeah.
And, and for the most part, it was Korra blaming Zaheer for this when it was really Korra.
Well, it's not that like Zaheer was blameless in the matter,
no,
but
he's
Zaheer,
not guilty in no means.
Well, Zaheer himself brought up, I'm not the one at this stage keeping you from being your best.
Your power, you.
I can do nothing to you at this stage. I'm in chains.
Yeah, your power is your potential is unlimited. You just don't realize it.
Yeah, you're the one holding yourself back. And that was such a good way to handle it. It's like to do this, not all in one. There was no magic potion that made her better all of a sudden.
No.
It was steps in a process. It took a long time.
And the majority of the season.
And she came out. She'll never be able to get fully past it, she acknowledged. Like, it's always going to be a part of her, but that's okay.
Yeah.
She's better because of it. And that, I think, also was a big deal with her having her heart-to-heart with Kuvira. She was able to talk about the pain she went through made her stronger. She can understand your pain.
More compassionate. As she told Tenzin, you know, her suffering made her more compassionate.
Yeah.
And I believe that is one of the reasons why she was able to have that heart-to-heart with Kuvira, because they actually sat down and talked.
Yeah.
And that was just something you don't ever see. The villain and the hero having that moment.
It's happened before, but usually it's ham-fisted.
Yes.
Awkward.
Because, and with considering how book one, book two, and book three ended, it was always fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And here it was fisticuffs, and then let's talk about it. But yeah, I like book three, but book four, I think, will be a great book.
Yeah.
A great series. And, you know, for the most part, the ending of the series itself gave a lot of closure.
It did.
There wasn't no open-ended stuff that I felt...
If they decide to do another series, there's fertile ground for that. Yeah. We could do another 100 years, have it be... maybe we're moving on from the Jazz Age to maybe closer to modern age Avatar, and all the repercussions of having another spirit portal open, having the spirit world and the physical world merged. It would be interesting to see how that evolves over time.
But here's the question: if they didn't do another series on it, who would they do an Earthbender as the Avatar?
Well,
if they're doing it in order,
yeah, they do the cycle, so the next one would be an Earthbender.
Would have
to
be an Earthbender, and that would be. We don't know how long that would be before.
Yeah.
Korra's still young. She's a teenager.
She's like 21 now.
Yeah, so
I thought she was 16.
She was either 16 or 17 when the series started.
Okay, so she's either in her late teens, early 20s.
Yes.
The point is, we can expect her to have a long life ahead.
Yeah, so she could live for another 70, 80 years.
Aang lived an unusually short life, though, because of complications with him being frozen for so long. He died fairly young, like in his 70s or 60s.
Well,
okay, when in World War Boomy can live. Original Boomy lived to be in his hundreds and was still kicking ass.
Katara, Zuko, and Toph are all like old, but
yeah, 80s.
You know, the separation between the time when Aang died to Korra, when we meet Korra, is only like 16, 17 years. So Aang died young, and then Korra or Katara. Should have been a little bit younger.
Yeah, because when you first see Aang's spirit,
Zuko's a little older. Actually, they were all older than Aang.
They were
biologically.
They were. Yeah. They were.
Toph was the same age. Katara was like a year older.
They were all like in their early teens.
Zuko was like 15. He was much older than.
I think he was the oldest of the group. They were mostly in the early teens because it was basically a group of meddling kids stopping the Fire Lord all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you first see Aang's grown-up spirit, like in the first, couple of episodes of, Korra, he only looks like 40-some-odd years old. So it didn't, even if you did the math,
We saw elderly Aang in spirit form, helping Tenzin accept who he was in season two.
But
three.
But Aang never,
two,
Aang, two, but elder, the older Aang never had gray hair.
Nope.
And from what we can tell, it's been, where Iroh went into the spirit world, it was 40 years from the time he went into the spirit world to the time when Tenzin and his brother and sister met him in the spirit world. They even said it was 40 years.
So
they're at least, they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, so just as a general time frame, if Korra lived, another 70, 80 plus years, it could be, another two or three generations before you even see the next Avatar as an Earthbender. So, then, wouldn't they be kind of in the modern age?
Now we're doing a lot of speculating.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of speculating. I don't think Nick will pick up another Avatar series.
Perhaps
we
not.
Have
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Back to the larger point, then. I'd be fine if they didn't do another one. I mean,
like I said,
I would be okay if they did another one. I mean, I'd love to see it.
The series ended on a good note. It ended without any.
We ended with
open
good closure.
We had closure, which we don't usually get in a lot of series.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I appreciate about the series. Hmm. We got most of the answers we wanted. Everybody had their resolutions. and Korra and Asami walked off into the sunset, proverbially.
If they did a movie where Katara, Zuko, and Toph could kick some righteous ass, I would be in total favor of that.
I would.
But
too.
As far as the TV show goes, this is a good place to end it.
Yeah. And
provided, though, that you know someone like M. Night Shyamalan doesn't ruin it.
Don't mention that name on a Korra broadcast.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, if they did a movie, please, you know, don't ruin it like he did.
Yeah.
Well, since we've kind of talked about coming to a close, let's come to a close. Well, thanks for joining us for this special edition of the Geekly Debate. And we hope to see you again sometime in the future. All right. Take care and good night.